book of John, chapter 1. We're going to begin reading with verse 35. This is in the very beginning of the ministry of our Lord, right after the baptism of Jesus. In verse 35 here, and again the next day, after John stood, and that John right there is John the Baptist, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He pointed out Jesus and identified him for these two disciples of his. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now, as I've already taught here, that the church was made up of people in the beginning that were baptized by John the Baptist. John the Baptist did a preparing work for the Lord to come on the scene and establish his church. And I know we all are aware, you all know that the church was established and set up during the personal ministry of Jesus Christ. It wasn't ordained or organized on the day of Pentecost. It was empowered with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. But it was organized by the Lord beginning at the shores of Galilee. And as these two disciples heard him speak, they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now, you see, this is one of the original apostles, one that the Lord called and ordained. And this was Andrew. He was a disciple, first of all, of John the Baptist. So that proves the point that these men were baptized by John and then called by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't baptize Andrew. Jesus, in fact, didn't baptize anybody. The Bible said that Jesus baptized not, but his disciples. Some people have taken that to mean that he baptized his disciples, but that isn't what that means. It means that he didn't personally baptize anybody, but his disciples did it under the power and authority that he gave them. They did the baptizing. After all, after they were added in the beginning of the church, and then, of course, they began to preach and people got saved and others were baptized. So this proves that part of that beginning was disciples of John the Baptist. This one was Andrew that followed Jesus from John. And he was Simon Peter's brother. He first, I want you to notice that. That's going to be part of what we preach tonight. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and said unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael. Now Nathanael has another name in the scriptures. He's one of the original 12. And his other name is Bartholomew. So whenever you find a man named Bartholomew, also, it's the same man as Nathaniel. He has two names, just like I have too. William Olin. That's my name. So, Bartholomew. And I guess that Bartholomew would be a little bit different than my middle name, because the word Bar means son of. He findeth Nathaniel and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold an Israelite, indeed in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, I want to go back and look at a couple of things here tonight. I want to go back and I want to look at a statement that's used a couple of times. And this is what I want to preach. Come and see. Come and see. Now, you know that's a good thing to tell people. Come and see. You know when they ask about your church here at Enon, you know, you could go into a big, lengthy description and go into a big theological discussion, and that may be, you know, part of it. Or, you know, you might could just tell them, well, what you need to do, just come and see. Come and see. And you know, I thought about this. Jesus told Andrew to come and see. And that is exactly what Andrew did. Andrew, he went and saw. He followed the Lord. And I want you to notice that the very next thing he did in verse 41, just as soon as he found Jesus, and I know that he didn't get saved there. I know he was already saved and he was already baptized. But it'll work either way. But I want you to know the first thing he did when he found the Messiah, he went and found his own brother. Now, he didn't go off and find a whole bunch of other people. The very first thing he did, he went to the man, I guess to one of the men that was the closest to him in the whole world. He went to his own brother, Peter, Simon. And he went and he told him, we have found the Christ. We've found the Messiah. You've got to come and you've got to see him. Now, the thought that I want to mention first of all tonight is that mission work begins at home. Mission work begins right on the church bench, right next to you. It begins right in your neighborhood and right in your own family. Now, the first thing he did, I mean the first thing he did, he went and found his own brother. Have you told your own brother about being saved? Have you told your own sister? They may reject it. But it ought to be in your heart. It ought to be in your mind that they know what you have. And you may not be able to persuade them, but at least you know what you can tell them. Come and see. Now, I believe in missions elsewhere. I believe we ought to be involved. I believe we ought to support. I believe we ought to go and we ought to do. Even if a man's a pastor, the Bible has taught. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, he told him to do the work of an evangelist, even though he was a pastor. He told him to do the work of an evangelist. And that is what an evangelist is. If we look at the gifts that are listed in Ephesians chapter 4 given to the church, they were some apostles. We don't have them anymore. They were some prophets. We don't have them anymore. And then there were some evangelists. We do have them. And then there were some pastor teachers. We do have them. And he told what they were for. They were for the perfecting of the saints. That gift given to the church was for the work of the ministry. And then for the edifying of the body of Christ is what those gifts were given for. Till we all grow up in the Lord. That's what the Lord put us here for. Now, an evangelist, I believe, just like there was a man that was labeled John the Baptist, there was a man that was labeled Philip the Evangelist. When you look and you see what Philip did, it's the same thing today as what we know as mission work. Philip was a missionary. And that is what evangelism is. It is mission work. And Paul told Timothy to do the work, not only of a pastor and teacher, but he said, you also do the work of an evangelist. Now, I believe evangelism, I believe mission work starts right at our own doorstep. It's where it ought to start. We need to tell those the closest to us. We can't be a blessing to Africa and the Philippines and anywhere else, Mexico, Canada, where those places have needs, and there's a time and there's a place for everything, but we can't really do them justice if we haven't done those closest to us with what we ought to do. It begins at home, and it spreads from there. Now, I want you to notice what Philip did. Same kind of thing. Boy, there was a lot of running around and telling about Jesus, wasn't there? The Lord called Philip, told him, you come follow me. And he did. Now, Philip, he found Nathanael. I don't know the relationship between Philip and Nathanael. I don't know if they were related. Don't know what they were. Other than I'm sure that they were close friends. Because when he found the Messiah, that's one of the first things he thought about doing was going to his friend Bartholomew, Nathanael. Again, they may have been related. And I don't know where they were or not. But he may not, I don't know. But I do know this. When he found Christ, he first went right to old Nathanael. Now, Nathanael wasn't quite as compliant as the Apostle Peter was. He wasn't quite as easy to follow as Philip was. And when Philip came and told him, we found Jesus, he said, we found Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And then Nazareth, well, Nathanael said, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? It didn't have a good reputation, did it? I mean, it just didn't. There wasn't a lot good come out of that. And I kind of know how that feels. I've been a member of a community before that people felt like a lot of good things didn't come out of. I may have already told you this. I'm not sure. I'm getting a little older and I don't remember everything I've always told like I used to. But when I was in 10th grade, my grandpa Cale, my mother's daddy, he come down with cancer. I'm the only child of my mother and my daddy and only grandchild of that side of the family. They lived in Bush, Louisiana. My mother actually let me move from Florida to Bush to live with my grandmother and my crippled uncle. She had an older brother that was crippled. And I helped take care of him. I think I was 15, maybe 16. And I'm thankful that I had an opportunity to do that. Well, it wasn't long. My grandpa died.
And I went to school at Covington, Louisiana. St. Tammany Parish is a big parish. It covers a lot of territory, all the way from Bush, actually Sun, all the way down to Slidell. Covington, it goes way over. It's a big parish. Anyway, I went to Covington High School, and they wouldn't let me into school. And the reason they wouldn't was that I told them that I was from Bush. And I promise you, the principal told me this. He said, about all we've ever had from Bush is troublemakers. He made that statement to me. He said, you're going to have to bring your grandmother to school because I don't trust people from Bush. And that's exactly what he said. And I guess he wasn't too worried about being politically correct back in the early 70s, was he? So I came from Bush, Louisiana. In fact, that's where I was born, was in Louisiana. And I got converted to Mississippi many years later. But anyway, I know how it felt to be from a place where you kind of looked down on a little bit. And they evidently looked on Nazareth like they couldn't even anything good come out of Nazareth. That's the way he felt about it. And you know what? Instead of arguing, instead of trying to convince him different with some kind of else, just listen to what he said. Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. You know, sometimes that's what you need to tell people. Why don't you just come and see? Why don't you just come and listen? Instead of trying to convince you and instead of trying to persuade you, why don't you just come and listen for yourself? And you know what? There's a lot of people that have done that. Well, Nathaniel did it. He went, and before he ever got to the Lord said, he called him out. And he evidently described him to a T. He said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. What you see is what you get with old Nathaniel. And evidently Nathaniel, that hit right home with him. He said, how do you know me? In other words, you know me pretty good. That's just the way I am. I never met you. He said, I saw you before Philip called thee when thou wast under the fig tree. I saw thee. I don't know what he was doing under the fig tree. You don't know what he was doing under the fig tree. But evidently, he was aware that there was no man that naturally could have saw him and reported that in the way that Jesus did. He was convinced. You know, sometimes all people need is just to come to church. And if you can never get them, come, just tell them, come and see. Invite them. The people closest to you. Those that are closest to you. Those, and let's don't leave them out. Come and see. Now I want to mention a few things that they ought to see when they come. When they come to Enon Landmark Missionary Baptist Church, they ought to come and they ought to find a place of renewal. And what I mean by that is that they ought to find an opportunity here to start anew. You know, that's what salvation does for a man, isn't it? Salvation gives a man or a woman or a boy or a girl a new start in life. Oh, I'm glad God gives us a place, gave me a place of renewal. I'm glad that I got an opportunity to start all over, and it might not work with men, but long as it works with God, that's all I'm really worried about. Mankind might not look. We've already seen this year what will happen, or last year, what will happen to people when the devil gets a hold of them. He won't let nothing go. They'll dig up the bones and scatter them everywhere from high school. My goodness. Boy, I'm glad that y'all didn't go back when you called me. I think I've already mentioned this. I'm glad y'all didn't go back and get a resume that included my high school years. You know what? You can't go behind the blood. And I'm thankful for that. And we ought to be willing, if you want to be forgiven, and you don't want people going behind the blood on you, then we ought to be willing to do the same thing. Give them an opportunity. They ought to come and see renewal. What a wonderful thing to come to a place, and there you learn that you have an opportunity to miss hell and be created a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are become new. Thank the Lord. They ought to come and see a place of renewal. You know what else they ought to see when they come here? They ought to see a place of worship and prayer. You know what Jesus said when he drove the men, and I think, you know, that he did this twice, if I'm not mistaken. I think the second time he told them that it's written that my house is a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves when he drove them out. God's house is supposed to be a house of prayer. It's supposed to be a place where you come and see, and you come and see people praying. And you come and see people worshiping. That's what people ought to see when they come and see us. They ought to come and see a place of worship. Worshiping in the Spirit and in the truth. Not one without the other. Worship in the Spirit and in the truth. I'll tell you what else they ought to come and see. They ought to come and see a place of learning. This ought to be a place that we come and we learn more about the Lord. It's a place of learning for us. There's not one of us. The old saying, and you can't teach an old dog new tricks. That's not in the Bible. That's in the world. Now you might not tell a dog. I don't know. I think you can teach an old dog if you apply the right kind of methods. But you don't get too old spiritually in the Lord not to learn from coming to church. I believe that's one reason we don't need to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There might be something we need to learn there right the night that we don't come. You know, we all talk about old Thomas, and Thomas really wasn't all that. He really wasn't that bad of a man. I know he doubted. But look how much trouble he got in because he wasn't where he was supposed to be one time. They all told him, said, "We saw the Lord. He's risen." He said, "I don't believe it. I believe it when I stick my hand in his side. I believe it when I stick my finger in the palm of his hand and in the nail prints." And it wasn't very long that Thomas was there and the Lord appeared. He said, "Come here, Thomas." I don't think Thomas ever had to do that. I don't think he had to put his hand in his side. I don't know. Jesus may have made him, but I don't think he had to do it. I think he hit his knees. I know I would have made. A place of worship and a place of prayer and a place of learning. Come and see. A place of fellowship. You know what the Scripture says about unity? How good and how pleasant, not just it's good and pleasant, but how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Fellowship brings unity. You know, if you're never around each other, you won't have the kind of fellowship and unity that you ought to have. Who would you rather be with? What's wrong with fellowship? I think it's good. I know we can't fellowship in every way. There's times all of us are hindered in some way from doing what we would love to do, but I believe the church ought to be a place of fellowship. I believe when people come in that door, they ought to feel a spirit of unity and fellowship. We ought to be pulling in the same direction. Come and see. Come and see. Speaking of that, I believe when they come in the door, they ought to come and see a place where the love of God dwells. And that's through the Holy Ghost. I believe they ought to come in. I had a man the other day. He's not really a spiritual person. He said he's saved, and I got to talking to him. And he got to running down churches pretty bad. And I asked him, I said, "Well, where do you go?" He said, "I don't go anywhere." Now, is that what the Lord told us to do? He said, "I got tired of all the drama." Now listen, they drama at the football game. Did you know that? There's drama in the Kiwanis Club. There's drama in the SPCA or wherever you want to go. There's going to be some drama somewhere because there's people that's given to that, and that's what they love, and that's what they live for, and they may be a little drama in church once in a while, but it's because people are human beings. Now, I've never pastored a perfect church. And I'm not pastoring one now, and you've never had a perfect pastor. And you forevermore don't have one now. I told you that when I came. I do love to live without drama, to tell you the truth. I don't like it. But I'm not going to quit church over it. If somebody gets their feathers ruffled, that's not going to make me jump up and leave church. You know why? Because I don't go to church for Travis Boone. And I don't go to church for anybody else. I just called his name. I can call yours, Brother Jimmy. I don't go to church on account of you. I don't go to church on account of Abby. She's not, I love her, but I don't go to church because of her. I go to church because of Jesus. Come and see. Come and see a place where God's love is. Now I know the church building, we all talk about the church building, it's not the church, that's the truth. But this is a place where we meet. Come and see. A place of edification. Tell people to come and see a place of edification. It's where you can come get your hands lifted up when they're drooping and they're down. Somebody lift you up. You know, the man in Isaiah said that he wanted the tongue of the learned. Tongue of the learned. One teacher corrected me. I said learned. And she said that word means learned. So either way you want it. That I might know how to speak a word of wisdom to someone in season. That I might know how to speak the right words. A place of edification. It's what the church, that's what people ought to come and see. You know, that's a lot to do, isn't it? That's a lot for us to do, but the easy way to maintain it is to follow Jesus and walk with Him. And like I preached the other day, be led by the Holy Spirit. Let God lead you. Don't try to get ahead of Him, but give Him your hand and let Him lead you. And you know what? People will be able to come here and see. But you know what they need? They need to be told to come and see. Well, you might say, well, they know they're welcome. Yeah. But read the book of Jude. And see that some people just need, over there it said, they just need a little bit of encouragement. Just a little. Just a little encouragement. Some people need pulled out of the fire. They may know that they're welcome, but go by and tell them, come and see. You know, the woman at the well, she went back in Samaria. She said, come and see a man that's told me everything I've ever done. Is this not the Christ? And you know what they did? They believed her. You know what they did? They came and saw. And there's more of them believed. I don't hold all the power. I do believe in the preaching of the gospel. I believe God calls men to a specific calling. And yet I do believe that everyone in this church has their part in the preaching, the dissemination of the gospel. He told you to tell them, come. Did you know what that, did you know the last book of the Bible, the last chapter, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Who's the bride? That's us. Now, Revelation 22, the end of time, it's too late for us to tell anybody to come. He wrote that for our benefit. He didn't write that the Spirit and the bride in the new earth are saying, come. It's too late then, because everybody that's going to come has already came, and ain't nobody can come. Different than those that already have came. But Revelation 22 was written for our benefit today, while there's still time and opportunity. We need to tell them to come. Come and see. You don't have to be a theological scholar to tell somebody
come and see. Start at home. Work your way out. If you're lost, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You pray for me. This is the message.